Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'm the new guy here, and so I know I have to earn your trust. What do you see? You see a young man who's in a bit of a hurry, maybe a little ambitious, bit of a know-it-all, it seems at times. I'm here to tell you, no, I don't know it all. I will listen. I will have the best people, the best and brightest in this country, whatever age they are, advising me. We will be probably many of the people on this stage included. That's how I built my companies. I want to be challenged. I want people who disagree with me.
I love the idea. He's like, I'm offering y'all a job, okay? If y'all just want to bow out now, I am willing to employ you in my cabinet because I can see a place for each one of you working for me. The winner. That's not how he said it, but it's also, you know, I know that I'm a bit ahead. I'm a bit, you know, aggressive. I'm a bit fast. I'm trying to get there. And I understand that kind of self-deprecating Obama-esque kind of pull here. He's trying. That's Vivek Ramaswamy last night during the debate. Oh, but wait, this got very interesting very shortly.
That's what makes America great, because we're not a perfect nation. We're founded on the pursuit of perfection. That is what makes America great.
I know it's hard to hear it over the, you know, because the way the mics are configured in this particular moment, but Mike Pence was getting on about TikTok. Because he had talked about, you got to win the election. That's why they use TikTok, is because that's where people are and you want to win the election. And, you know, but TikTok is controlled by the Chinese and it's bad for security and bad for all kinds of other things, is what Mike Pence was saying.
That is why we will end it once we win this election.
I have to jump.
So he promises to end TikTok after the election, even though he's using it now, which is also an interesting strategy. He's, you know, he talks about banning social media for anybody under the age of 16, something I completely agree with. I don't know how you enforce it, but, you know, wave your magic wand kind of stuff. Yeah, kids should not be using any social media. That's my opinion. Get them all off of all of it. Make it till they're 18, Frank. But, okay, back to this interchange.
I have to jump in here. I'm sorry.
I have Swami was speaking.
There's one person on this.
This is infuriating because TikTok is one of the most dangerous social media apps that we could have. And what you've got, I honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you say. Because I can't believe that here you've got a TikTok. TikTok situation.
somebody told a couple of these candidates, all right, you need to get meaner. You need to get meaner and snarkier and ruder. And by the way, Vivek is beating you with his no experience at all, you know, in the political realm. You need to take him out. You take him out, you be mean. You give them examples, and you say you're one-liners, you're zingers. I'm getting dumber every time I listen to you.
You went and you were in business with the Chinese that gave Hunter Biden $5 million. We can't trust you. We can't
say
have
something.
TikTok in our kids' lives.
This is very important.
Mr. Ramaswamy, you have 15 seconds. You have 15 seconds, Mr. Ramaswamy.
Thank you. I think we would be better served as a Republican Party if we're not sitting here hurling personal insults and actually have a legitimate debate about policy following Reagan's 11th Amendment in his honor. And the answer is that is what actually makes our country strong. And I believe in these people. These are good people on the stage. They disagree, but let's have a legitimate disagreement. That's what I would say.
Stuart, can we get back to the question?
No, we cannot.
Is on
Governor DeSantis, I'm going straight.
On this stage,
sir,
that has a career
we will have to cut your mic, and I don't want to do that. I don't.
He's the one that you threatened to cut his mic off? He was the least of the problems. All he kept saying is, excuse me, I got to get in here. Excuse me. Does anybody know? This is on, right? Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota, trying to get in. Although Tim Scott did have also a bit of a line. It's kind of hard to hear because he's not on the feature mic at the moment.
States.
Governor DeSantis, I have a question for you.
Are you guys having trouble seeing me?
Florida's new Black History curriculum says, quote, slaves.
Excuse me, are you guys having trouble seeing me down over here? I'm the bald guy. Which is also funny because that's probably not his most notable contrast feature on the stage. Saying there's other ways you could self-identify. 437-1620. What'd you think of the debate? Personally, I thought it was a catastrophe for the Republicans. They all looked bad. It was a question of who looked the least bad. The moderators were completely inept. They, somebody said the problem with having three moderators is it's the same as having no moderators, which is true. There's nobody to take control, and they certainly did not do that effectively. And it was just bicker, crosstalk, zingers that mostly didn't land, that wound up embarrassing the people who tried them. Even Chris Christie's, Nikki Haley's zinger landed. I mean, you know, that worked in the moment from a, like, debating evaluation perspective. But, you know, the attacks that Chris Christie's got one of the great lines from last night, but it seemed so contrived that I don't think it really works to effect. It's made all the talk shows. It's getting, you know, it's made all the news shows, and it's getting on social media a lot. But I thought this line just didn't work because of the place that it had in the debate.
And Donald Trump should be here to answer for that, but he's not. And I want to look in that camera right now and tell you, Donald, I know you're watching. You can't help yourself. I know you're watching, okay? And you're not here tonight. Not because of polls and not because of your indictments. You're not here tonight because you're afraid of being on the stage and defending your record. You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
All right. I want to ask Governor DeSantis, you fired a couple of prosecutors.
I like this commentary.
All right.
All right. And then the booing from the audience. Oh, man. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And we're not showing a lot right now. There is an accident. It looks like this is in Milton. It's Maddox Road and 89 in Milton. And they say use caution in the area. Certainly watch for emergency crews on scene. Use caution wherever you are, 437-1620. If you see that accident or slow down, you can always text in your traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to this debate. Again, I think it was a catastrophe for the Republicans. It was not well moderated. You know, the question of, like, who had good and bad nights. I thought Tim Scott had a fairly bad night. I think Mike Pence had the worst night. Mike Pence tried to make jokes that weren't funny. He had the weird "I'm sleeping with a teacher" line. It was just, and it was so slow. He sounded so slow compared to everybody else. And just there was, I didn't think any redemption for him last night. And yeah, I like Mike Pence. I supported Mike Pence. I think he was a very effective governor. He's a fairly effective representative. I thought he was a very good vice president. And yet this is, he needs to go. I mean, he's not a viable candidate in the Republican Party. There's no constituency he can point to and say, I've got them. You know, Tim Scott probably ought to go too. Nikki Haley's got the sort of the moderates and the, you know, the blue bloods or whatever. She's got the, you know, the conservative ideologically, like, foreign policy kind of base. She certainly got that. Chris Christie's the anti-Trump wing of the party. DeSantis, I thought DeSantis actually did very well, all things considered. Then again, I was listening more than watching, and when I had gone back and forth, I was listening, and when I go watch, he's better on the radio than he is on TV. I hate to say it, but he's not the most videogenic, you know, in terms of the candidates. But I thought he had a very good showing, you know, repeatedly having good lines, having good information. It was a lot more personable than he was the first time around. And he was kind of like the leader on stage, telling them that the scribble down your answers thing was a stupid gimmick. He wasn't going to play that game. Getting control of the crosstalk situations a couple of times. And also, frankly, when he talked about substantial policy things, he had fairly good things to say that made his, again, policy chops sound substantial.
Are you comfortable with China deepening ties with our southern neighbors?
Of course not. And the reason why we're in this mess is because elites in D.C. for far too long have chosen surrender over strength when it comes to the CCP. Some people in our country got rich, our industrial base got hollowed out, and they have been able to build the most powerful military in the entire world.
And the, you know, obviously things that he has done here might well translate onto the national stage.
We need a totally new approach to China. We are going to have real hard power in the Indo-Pacific, like Reagan, to deter their ambitions. We're going to have economic independence from China, where we're decoupling our economy. And we are going to go after the cultural power they have in this country. As governor of Florida, I banned the CCP from buying land in our state. We should do that all across these United States. We shouldn't have them in our universities. We shouldn't have Confucius Institutes.
A lot of applause lines for DeSantis last night. Education in Florida is doing great. The getting rid of bad prosecutors stuff that he's done here in Florida that he could, to some degree, be able to do nationally. Of all the folks on the stage, if anybody had a good night, it was probably him. Nikki Haley continues to show strong. I think Chris Christie shows strong for the anti-Trump wing of the party. I'm not sure if Vivek is doing all that well now, because he definitely was the target of a lot of the attacks last night, because he was doing well after the first debate. They saw, the opportunity to take down somebody who's a strong competitor. So my read of this situation is that Pence needs to get out. Tim Scott needs to get out. I'm willing to give Doug Burgum another, debate, because he actually had a lot of good things to say. He was very capable when he was giving answers. His problem was they weren't really going to him much, and, he was kind of whining about the fact that they kept not going to him, which is fair, but you never win by whining. That's kind of the unfortunate part of that.
We can reclaim our role as the leading energy producer on Earth, and that'll grow the American economy for generations to come.
Governor Haley, reaction to that, please.
As the only person who's leading an energy state, could I answer the energy question?
No, Governor Haley.
See, the first thing I'll say is...
So he got threatened to get his mic turned off. He got denied when he tried to politely ask if he could answer the question. But again, when he was giving answers, Doug Burgum had good answers.
We're not talking about the real problem ever. We talk about, why do we have the most expensive health care in the world? It's because the federal government got involved the same way they did with EVs, and they said, we're going to subsidize a particular kind of software back in 2008 under Obama. And they said, hey, we're going to do this. It's going to make everyone more productive. All of you that are watching have been to a doctor's office when the doctor's got his back to you and their hands on a keyboard. The only industry in the world that's ever absorbed $1 trillion of IT and became less productive, they saw less patients per day, is U.S. healthcare, because they were subsidizing a certain kind of technology. It wasn't about improving healthcare. It was about picking winners and losers. Every time the federal government's involved, whether it's higher education, healthcare, or now the auto industry, things get more expensive and less competitive.
That was a great transition.
Very interesting thoughts, commentary that I haven't heard other people make, and that's what I found fascinating about him. And oh, by the way, to go back to the beginning of the segment, we're talking about Nikki Haley, thrown down against Vivek Ramaswamy. It was interesting because he tried to play conciliatory on the stage.
I think this artificial division is unhelpful in our party. The real divide is not between the Republicans on this stage. And in the Reagan Library, I want to say these are good people on this stage.
Which was immediately challenged by Tim Scott, because do you remember what he said in the last debate about the fellow Republicans, is that they were all bought and paid for?
When we have a conversation about the things that are happening on this stage, we think about the fact that Vivek just said we were all good people. And I appreciate that, because last debate, he said we were all bought and paid for. And I thought about that for a little while and said, I can't imagine how you could say that, knowing that you were just in business with the Chinese Communist Party and the same people that funded Hunter Biden millions of dollars was a partner
this
of yours as well.
It's
not nonsense.
So look, I want to respond. These are good people who are tainted by a broken system, and it's not the fault of anybody who's involved.
Some of us are tainted.
Thank you for speaking while I'm interrupting.
You said bought and paid for.
Thank you for speaking while I'm interrupting. That's awesome. 623 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Your thoughts at 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Quick, name two things that hiss. Did you say gas leak? If not, here are some safety tips. Look, listen, smell, and leave. Look for blowing dirt, dead plants, dry spots in moist areas, and bubbling water in creeks or ponds. Listen for a hissing sound near gas appliances or lines. Smell for a rotten egg odor. If you detect any of these signs, leave immediately and call Pensacola Energy at 850-474-5300. Snakes and cats aren't the only things that hiss. Learn more at PensacolaEnergy.com.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company. Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at NerviveHealth.com. And try Nervive Pain Relieving Cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights at 7 after Pensacola right now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Excuse me, but I used to work in a bar, so I know what it's like to wait on people. And I just wanted to bring to your attention that the service here needs immediate improvement.
In a world made of steel, made of
the best part about that scene from Desperado when the college girls complaining about the service in the terrible bar, right? And you've got Cheech Marin is in there, and he's the bartender, right? And, you know, the assistant, like the second henchman or whatever, he kind of like goes to reach for the gun. Like he's just going to shoot her.
Right.
And he's like, just leave it be. 626 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic for us. Candy?
Taking a look around. Good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. There's one accident you want to watch out for at 89 in Maddox Road. That is in Milton. So watch your emergency crews on scene. But not showing any slowdowns. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Right. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden's in Arizona today. He'll be giving a speech on the legacy of late Senator John McCain, who he was a close friend of. Police have arrested the man suspected of murdering tech CEO Pava LaPere in her Baltimore apartment earlier this week. Convicted felon Jason Billingsley was apparently arrested yesterday at a train station south of Baltimore. LaPere's body was found on Monday on the rooftop of her apartment building. And UAW President Sean Fain will be making another announcement tomorrow on a possible second expansion of the strike against the big three automakers. Last week, that strike expanded from 3 plants to an additional 38 locations, but wasn't expanded at Ford plants because apparently they'd made some progress with them.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 628, some thoughts coming in from y'all on the various topics of the debate last night. Somebody here says, it was a bunch of adults acting like children. The problem is when Republicans face a problem, they form a firing squad. Democrats circle the wagons. That's one reason they win. I don't think that's accurate. The Democrats are very self-destructive in this way as well. Like the Democrats do not circle the wagons very effectively, in my opinion. Somebody else here says, let's see, the Ronald Reagan Jimmy Carter debate was more civilized compared to last night. Somebody else says, I just got in the car and caught the end of the clips. Were you playing audio segments from the Milton City Council meeting? That's just, oh, man.
Okay, to be fair, though, I would love to watch a debate for the Milton City Council meeting.
You what?
If they could do a debate, that would be awesome.
I know.
And not that
I
they
know.
Would see who's going to be mayor.
I did. Somebody else had texted me the same thing last night. I said, did these folks watch the Milton City Council meetings to try to get tips on decorum? Is that what happened here?
For the record to reflect that Chris Christie was frowning at me.
Indeed, he was. Yes. That's right. And, you know, if you want to have the record reflect that, then you can do so.
Thank you.
437-1620. Somebody here says, Dana did a disappointing job and I saw blood coming out of her eye. Oh, that's a good callback. Somebody else says, no thoughts from the peanut gallery, just entertained. Oh, somebody else sent me a link to a screen grab of a headline where the headline is curtains, sleeping with teachers. 2024 Republican debate takes strange turns. Oh, there was this whole Nikki Haley, Tim Scott dust up over whether she paid for the curtains that she got in her office as the ambassador to the UN or whatever. Like,
oh,
it. I mean, there was some of the weirdest stuff that came up in this debate last night. They're not wrong about that comment. Somebody said, oh, I agree. DeSantis sounded good on the air, but, you know, if you look at him, he seemed to have a frown all the time, which he does. It's just him. And it's not better when he tries to smile. Again, I'm a big supporter of Governor DeSantis, but it doesn't get less bad when he tries to be, like, the affable one, you know, because that's not his style either. Anyway, we'll talk more about this next hour, and we'll especially get into the who's sleeping with a teacher. How did that become a thing that anybody thought was a good line of attack?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Seven Republican candidates at the second presidential primary debate of the campaign agreed on a lot, disagreed on a few things, and spent a lot of time interrupting and attacking each other.
You voted for, you actually asked for a gas tax increase in South Carolina.
12 years, where have you been?
South Carolina Senator Tim Scott and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley there, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie addressing former President Trump, who's been skipping the debates.
You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
The debate was at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California, co-hosted by Fox Business. The next one is November 8th in Miami. The suspect in Pava LaPere's murder in Baltimore is found and arrested. She was a 26-year-old tech company founder found dead Monday. The suspect is a registered sex offender freed on parole last year. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is mostly cloudy right now and 71 degrees in Pensacola. The man that escaped from Gulf Breeze police on Monday, resulting in an overnight manhunt in the East Hill area, has now been caught by Escambia County deputies. 40-year-old Dmitry Glushko was tracked down by deputies Wednesday afternoon in the area around 10th Avenue and Romana Street. He was taken into custody on several charges, including escaping police custody, larceny, obstruction of justice. He's now held on $17,000 bond. Escambia County School District officials remain committed to keeping students in the classroom, even when they may be facing an out-of-school suspension. Last year, they introduced a program that allowed students to take a four-week anger management course rather than a suspension.
We've piloted this in a few schools now, but it is a curriculum which is ran by their mental health counselors who volunteered to do that program. In middle schools, it's done before school. In high schools, it's done after school hours.
That is Student Engagement Coordinator Jeremy Tompkins. He tells Channel 3 parents have to sign off on taking the class before their student is eligible to participate. Next month, bringing some changes for current ECUA customers.
We have increased rates, admittedly, to help cover that cost of recycling. But now your basic service does come with two cans, and it's your option as a customer whether that second can is a recycling can or a trash can.
ECUA Executive Director Bruce Woody there, and he says that accounts include a customer's choice of those two cans, whether it's one garbage and one recycling or two garbage cans. He also says if you already pay for an extra garbage can and have a recycling can, you can lower your bill if you don't want to continue with the recycling program. In the city of Pensacola, they've gone away from recycling and are working on a new program. Homeowners who have policies with Citizens Insurance will be paying more soon. Citizens Board of Governors approved a rate hike of 11.5% yesterday. Citizens was supposed to be the insurer of last resort. The nonprofit has grown as other providers have been leaving the state. It has almost 1.5 million policies. A spokesperson says it's now the largest property insurer in the state of Florida. Again, they approved that 11.5% rate hike yesterday. The ribbon was cut for a new medical office in Santa Rosa County yesterday as well. HCA Florida West's new primary care office on Avalon Boulevard officially opened its doors. That office will be providing annual checkups, also care for chronic conditions for both adults and kids in Santa Rosa County. It is 6:34 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
It's so funny because we just finally got insurance and it's Citizens.
Oof.
Yeah, so like, thanks, man. As we take a look around, we're still watching that one accident in Milton Doesn't look like it's causing a roadblock, though. It's Maddox Road and 89, so use caution there. Vehicle crash with injuries. Watch for emergency crews on scene. 437-1620. Text in your traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Good Thursday morning. It is a cloudy and soggy start for some. Rain chance sits at about 30% today, especially if you were south of Interstate 10. For the rest of us, it's just going to be a cloudy day with highs in the mid-80s. Now, as we head into Friday and the weekend, some good news. We do have sunnier conditions moving in, so it should be a little bit drier. And because of that, we'll see highs get back into the upper 80s to even lower 90s starting Saturday. That's your weather forecast for now. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer here at WEAR News.
And right now, 71 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. For News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. The UAW pledged to widen its strike on Friday, barring significant progress in talks with Detroit carmakers as the companies take steps to keep critical parts flowing to their dealerships. Parallel talks between the UAW and GM, Ford, and Stellantis continue nearly 2 weeks into a limited strike at all three automakers. The UAW says it will identify new strike targets at 10 a.m. tomorrow, with walkouts to begin at noon unless bargainers make headway in negotiations for new four-year contracts. As TikTok pushes to expand its e-commerce business globally, the viral short video app is turning to a group of sellers for help: Chinese merchants. TikTok is hoping such vendors will expand its online retail offerings, but the app's background is a haven for catchy dances and lip syncs has confounded even experienced sellers more accustomed to retailing on traditional shopping platforms such as Amazon. On Wall Street, futures are mixed after stocks ended mixed yesterday. That's Your Money Now.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SOUL at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SOUL. Enjoy.
Hurricane season is here, and Gulf Breeze Natural Gas helps provide the most reliable energy source. There are advantages to having natural gas in your home or business. Major storms typically do not cause widespread outages because gas lines are buried and protected. Most appliances, including cooking and hot water, still work during electrical outages. A gas generator gets everything back up and running within 30 seconds. That's the length of this commercial. Learn more about how to be best prepared at GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Secret offers, guaranteed returns, over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit SLOFR.gov to learn more. This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Will golf carts be allowed on the multi-purpose path or electric bicycles? I think bicycles are, but not golf carts. Bicycles, yes. Golf carts, sorry. You'll run over the people running, and so that's not good. Not good. Do you support a rewrite of the land development code, like I'm going to try and do? 100%. 100%. Where's Joy? Yeah. 100%. Make sure you tell Joy that. 100%. And Wes.
Interesting. You know, at the end of whenever he does a town hall, Commissioner Jeff Burgosh always does the Q&A where he gives people the red and green cards to show if they agree or disagree. And on the question of a land development code rewrite, he says everybody is on board with that. I actually think that's the main reason that they want to incorporate Perdido is to have more control at the local level over development. And, that's the local LDC is what they're trying to get a grab on because they don't like the way the county's been doing it. But, you know, he noted at the end there, and, you know, hey, Wes, pay attention to this, but also the golf cart question. And I wanted to actually ask Wes Moreno about that. Wes is the county administrator for Escambia County, joins us every Thursday morning. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Great to have you. So apparently an LDC rewrite is in the offing, which I think everybody recognizes that would be useful. But I was surprised there's not going to be golf carts on the Perdido Key multi-use path just because, you know, Gulf Breeze, like, did a whole multi-use path for golf carts, and that seems to be one of the more common uses of them is on those kind of pathways, but not supposed to be on the multi-use path in Perdido?
No, I don't believe they are. You know, it's kind of like Pensacola Beach. You know, we have the multi-use path there on Pensacola Beach, but it's not really designed for golf carts.
Okay.
So you'll see the golf carts. They have to be street legal.
Yeah.
But you'll probably see them on the roadway themselves.
Okay. All right. Like I said, just caught me off guard because, I guess you're right, I've seen it both ways. I tend to think of golf carts on the multi-use paths as being a fairly common thing. Budget, you guys finally got a budget all done, and it's kind of pay raises across the board, right?
It is. It's 3% across the board, and I'm proud of that. And when Steph and I started working the budget, you know, we were working with a 2% adjustment. And then as the budget progressed and we kept on working, we saw we were coming in a little better than we thought. And so we upped that to a 3%. But I think it's well-deserved. Our departments are doing fantastically well. They're really producing a lot of work. And the thing I would say is it's just not about giving. We've also, you know, we defunded a lot of positions to be able to do these pay raises. So it's not always give. Sometimes there's some take. And so it was just part of the budget process. Happy to be able to do it. I think it's well-deserved for the employees, and I'm proud of them. Happy to do it.
And, you know, pay raises for first responders in Escambia County Fire from previous years, and the sheriff's getting, I think, is it a 5% pay raise as well? Because, I mean, that's what you have to do to keep up, in my opinion, right?
Absolutely. You got to do that to be competitive. You got to do that to be able to recruit, especially, you know, after COVID, the job market the way it was. I think, yeah, we didn't have a choice.
You know, one of the things. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, you're good. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you kind of mentioned a moment ago about positions being defunded so you could reallocate what's, you know, money budgeted for jobs that don't exist because we couldn't hire the people, taking that and turning it into raises for the people we do have who are doing the extra work because we don't have the other people. I was kind of curious. You and I have talked many times about the high number of open positions in Escambia County, unfilled positions. And I think I remember you recently saying that, you know, that number has come down. But it's not that we have more employees. It's just that we've lowered the list of open jobs because we realize that we don't need to have those jobs. We're doing the work with fewer people. Do I have that all about right?
Yeah, you know, you have these vacancies for long, and you start noticing, hey, we are able to function. Certainly it'd be easier if we were able to fill all the positions. But we're down to about 300 at the last count, just a shade over 300, which is down from almost 500 a couple of years ago. So we have been able to fill positions, but we still have some open vacancies that we're operating with. And you look at different areas and go, you know, I think we can defund some of these. I think we'll be okay. And over here in this other area, we can do the same. And so that's what we've done. We've just done an assessment of the vacancies and which ones we can maybe continue to go without. And, you know, maybe we'll end up eliminating them permanently in the end. But the only thing is, I would say this also is, you know, our personnel, you know, your personnel is always going to be your biggest part of your budget, the
right.
most expensive part of your budget will always be personnel, no matter what budget it is. And so it is a balance. It's a balance. What can you do without? Because for years, we've been pretty flat personnel-wise as far as number of employees.
Right.
If Public Works, for instance, is the boots on the ground. You know, we've been 100 boots on the ground for years. And somehow you make the magic work, and it just is what it is.
It's always
an assessment and a struggle.
In spite of what you continually bring up, which I think is a very fair point, is, you know, it's not like the number of retention ponds that you have to maintain and road miles that you have to maintain has decreased. those numbers have gone up dramatically without going up in attendant personnel. So we're
absolutely.
We're talking to Wes Moreno. He's the county administrator for Escambia County. Wes, hang on for just a second. Candy's got traffic on the 5.
This brought to you by Boost Infinite. If you're thinking of getting the latest iPhone, you need to stop. Check out the insane, amazing wireless offer from Boost Infinite. To learn all about it, pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Boost Infinite. Taking a look around, we do have an accident. This is in Navarre on Highway 98. It's 98 eastbound in Navarre, just west of Orion Parker, and backing up already past the Walmart Supercenter in Navarre. 437-1620. Text your traffic tips in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Wes Moreno, the county administrator for Escambia County. This is going to be an odd question. This is going to come out of left field, but it occurred to me the other day. I'm watching the Escambia budget meetings. I'm watching the Santa Rosa budget meetings, the Pensacola budget meetings, the Milton budget meeting. You know, just bogged down in budget meetings, but okay. And all of a sudden, something really weird. Commissioner May had made a couple of comments seeming to indicate either he's never going to be the chair of a budget meeting again, or he might not be a chair again, or, you know, his reelection and whatever. But it got me thinking about something, which is we do budgets in September and then in October. And then the person incoming in November, if there's an election year, whether they beat the incumbent or whether the incumbent retires from office, the new person has to live with the old elected representative's budget for, you know, 11 or 10 months until they can do their own budget. It seems to me like it would make more sense to let the incoming elected people do budgets like in December so that they can control their own money when they're the elected official. I know nobody else does it this way, but is there a reason we do it in August or September and October?
Yeah, for counties, it's driven by state statute. That's why you'll see it. That's why you see so many of us coming in at the same time, because we're driven by the state statute as far as the timing goes.
Okay.
So, you know, the budget process, the way we do it anyway, the way me and Stephen do it, it'll start in February, honestly. And we start driving and pushing. It's a long push to September. But as far as the fiscal year, it's set by state statute, and that's why it's done that way.
Okay, all right. And if it starts in September, in February, that means that, you know, incoming people, you know, they get about 3 months to get used to the job, and then they start having input on what they want, I guess. So that I could see that a little bit. It still just seems weird to me. But if it's state statute, obviously nothing that you guys could do different about it. I did want to give you a chance to talk about this a lot of anxiety over what would happen with the Baptist move. And then, lo and behold, done in half the time, zip, zop, easy peasy. Very good work by everybody involved.
Yeah, it really was. You know, we're staying in touch over the weekend. And I attribute the success to a lot of good planning, a lot of pre-planning, a lot of walking through it before the event happens. You know, what is this, what is that, and the escorts and all this stuff. Dave Tercel, you know, this is his wheelhouse, and Eric, and they just did a fantastic job. And, you know, Baptist, everybody just came together. The Baptist staff came together, EMS staff came together, and, you know, law enforcement came together. It was everybody playing their role. Again, it's everybody playing their role to be successful. And that's what happened last weekend. And the move was done in really almost half the time we thought it was going to take us to do it. But we did it, and proud of that, and happy to be able to provide that service to the community. And Baptist has a new hospital online. And, yes, I understand there's a lot of angst with the old campus and
right.
What's going to happen with that. But as far as our role in the move, I think we did very well, and I'm very proud of our EMS staff.
It's nice to have a guy running, you know, when in David Torcell that has moved hospitals before. I mean, that's certainly a,
absolutely.
That's a nice benefit to have somebody. Speaking of that, you know, I know we had mechanics on, or at least one mechanic on standby in case we had a problem with the ambulances. And I'm assuming that none of the ambulances that were scheduled to be used on Saturday were the old Cummins ones that had the fuel injector, or we think issues recently. Has that problem been solved? The what some people thought was bad gas, what seems to be a change in the formula, or maybe was the injector. Have we anything changed on that? Is that fixed yet?
You know, we're still chasing some of it down. It's much better. It's much, much improved. But we still may have a little bit of work to do there.
Okay, and that's again with the ECAT buses, also not just the ambulances. So, how did the I heard the real change event went great.
It really did. I was over there, and it just it was great. Tuesday was over 200 folks came through.
Wow!
And we had 50 vendors, 50 plus vendors. We fed 200. They were giving haircuts. They were the core program was there interacting with people. And actually, I got to meet.
That's the for people who don't. That's the treatment to get people off of opium. You know, opioid addictions. Great program. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I got to meet the first young man that was part of the core program and enrolled in the core program, and
wow,
he's doing pretty well. He's got housing now. He's got a job.
That's great.
He was extremely thankful for the core program, and so they were there interacting with folks, and you know, animal services were there. The community health was there. Todd Stafford and his group were there. They gave out over 30 IDs.
Wow.
Which is a big deal.
Yeah.
And so it was just a great program. It's a great event. So what we're going to do is take that event, springboard into October, where we start the U count, as we're coming up to the end of the year where they do the point in time count. But before that, they do the U count. So we're going to take this event, after action it, what can we do better? Everything is great. So we may use the Bay Center. We're talking about using a little bit larger area for the U count, or we may come back to Brownsville. But either way, it was a very, very successful event. Elizabeth Kissel and Travis Tompkins, they're on my own staff. I can't say enough about them and their efforts in this event. They just they hit it out of the park, and it was a great event for the community. ECAT was involved, giving free bus rides. There was one young man that Commissioner Mayne interacted with. And the Commissioner Mason said, "Made you ride that bus?" He said, "Yeah, I rode the bus." He said, "Did you ride it for free?" "Yeah, I rode it for free. So I got a brace. I'm going to ride it all day long."
That's great. Well, that's wonderful. I love hearing that stuff because, you know, that's great for the community, but it's also got to be great for the employees and staff to be able to see their work having a positive effect on people's lives and maybe making some of these problems a little bit better. I mean, it's just great all around. Hey, last quick thing before I let you go because we're out of time, but I got somebody had asked me, maintenance on Three Mile Bridge, said that there's debris, there's tires, it just looks like an old bridge because it's not being maintained very well. I told him I thought that would be an FDOT issue. That's FDOT, though, right? Not you guys?
It is FDOT. It sure is. It's probably their maintenance contractor.
Okay.
But, yeah, that will be an FDOT issue.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Very good. And maybe if you talk to them anytime soon, maybe mention. I don't know how bad the problem is, but it came from a reliable person who I don't think would exaggerate. So it might be worth something kind of mentioning to them if you get a chance. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator with a free day. No meeting today. So, Wes, thank you for getting up early and talking to me. I always appreciate it, sir.
All right, Andrew. Thank you now.
You bet. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Darren McIntyre, Artistic Director of Ballet Pensacola, today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 as he announces the season opener on stage at the Center Friday, October 6th to 7 p.m. The production of Dracula, backed by popular demand, October 6th through the 8th and the 13th through the 15th. Call in or text your questions for Darren and his guests to 850-437-1620 and tune in today at 10 to win tickets.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and insulation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more.
The Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival is coming October 4th through the 8th. Over 19 different venues and over 100 songwriters playing the songs they wrote and the stories behind each song. A full weekend of listening to writers like Thompson Square.
Are you gonna kiss me all night?
Grammy winner Jim Moose Brown.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Andy Griggs, Jamie O'Neill, and many more. The Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival, October 4th through the 8th. Get more at PensacolaBeachSongwritersFestival.com.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk, 9 to 11, before Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
National average for a gallon of gas, 383. Florida average is 354. Mississippi is 325. And California is now over $6, 602. Ugh. 324 east at the Walmart in Navarre, 323 west at the Walmart in Navarre. Foot of the Garcon Point Bridge at the Murphy is 321, 345 in proper. 324 at the Raceway in Milton. Looks like the Walmart has, won't tell me. Good. 324 maybe in Pea Ridge. 329 at the Raceway going through Pace, so that's the second station. Getting over on into Pensacola on 9 Mile, you've got the Walmart at 317. Same at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. Coming in from the southwest side, 321 at the Navy Boulevard Murphy Station. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with the lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen, PeteMooreImports.com. Oh, so apparently not just a small thing, but I've got several texts in confirming the bridge debris is really bad. Somebody said, whoever spoke up about the debris on Three Mile Bridge is absolutely right. Somebody else said the bridge debris is bad. I just passed a rug and a couple of tires and a cooler. Empty or full? Anyway, you know, so, and somebody says, can you get FDOT on? I'm like, I can call Ian, no problem. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
As we take a look around, Three Mile Bridge, I had somebody say something to me about that yesterday. East Bay Boulevard, River Run Road in Navarre showing an accident this morning. And there's another accident in Navarre, 98 eastbound, just west of Orion Parker. And it is backing up, and it occurred maybe 20 minutes ago and backed up already past the Walmart Supercenter, the one in Navarre. Again, that's 98 eastbound starting at Orion Parker. I would say take a different route if you can, 437-1620. If you have a traffic tip, you could text it in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. Yeah. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You know, I'm also curious about this cooler. Are we talking a Yeti or an Igloo? Because I might have an...
That's right. Or a disposable styrofoam. Yeah, no fair right. question, right?
I'll be right back.
The American soldier released from North Korea this week arrived in Texas last night. 23-year-old Private Travis King will now be medically evaluated at the Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio. Billionaire activist investor Ryan Cohen has been named as the new CEO of GameStop. The company made that announcement yesterday. And apparently Taylor Swift has inspired a new condiment from Heinz. She was at the Kansas City Chiefs game on Sunday. During the game, a fan took a photo of Swift eating chicken strips with ketchup and seemingly ranch. That Instagram photo went viral. And yesterday, Heinz made the announcement that they now have a limited edition ketchup and seemingly ranch.
You sure it's ketchup and not just Kelsey and seemingly ranch? I don't know. But yeah, sure. Okay, fine, whatever. 6:58, that's funny, though. Thanks so much for the update. Time for future news. Candy and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens.
Okay, Three Mile Bridge.
So Three Mile Bridge, yeah. Is Three Mile Bridge going to get cleaned up anytime soon or routinely?
Probably now, since you brought it up.
Well, I guess. I mean, I'll have to call Ian and see Ian Satter with FDOT.
Who's the mom that has to tell him to clean their room?
Right.
I guess it's the FDOT.
Does anybody drop out before the next debate?
No.
I would like in my heart of hearts to see Tim Scott and Mike Pence drop out, but I don't think...
Maybe Mike
Tim
Pence.
Tim Scott might.
I thought he was fine.
I don't think Mike Pence is going to drop out.
He went after Vivek Ramaswamy.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A motorcyclist killed in a crash yesterday on Gulf Beach Highway. Also, that escapee that was sparking a manhunt Monday night has been arrested. We've got those stories and more after Fox.
Seven Republicans running for president in the spotlight again. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
We've got to address the underlying problem with Bidenomics, the overspending.